It's April 12th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got a Friday headline brief for you this morning with critical news and updates that are shaping America and the world. First up, we begin this morning with domestic news, and we start with the director of the FBI. He warned us yesterday of the increasing likelihood that the United States will be attacked by an Islamic terror group in the coming weeks to months. He anticipated that it's going to be similar to what we saw in Russia a couple of weeks ago at that big concert hall. The FBI's director, of course, that is Christopher Wray, said yesterday to Congress that threats like these to America are coming fast, furious, and all throughout the country. Quote, looking back over my career in law enforcement, I would be hard-pressed to think about a time where so many threats to our public safety and national security were so elevated all at once, end quote. Well, as Mr. Wray was warning the nation of this threat of radical Islam, there was one elected representative yesterday who couldn't quite rise to the occasion to do the same. And that is Democrat Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. She refused to condemn her Muslim and Arab constituents in the city of Dearborn for chanting death to America at a rally last weekend. It was over the war in Gaza. Now, since last weekend, some Democrats have condemned those chants, but not all. And Representative Tlaib is but one. She, in fact, was pressed throughout this past week to say that that kind of rhetoric is absolutely unacceptable, and she has refused. For what it's worth, there is no word on, at least officially, whether Mr. Wray's FBI is investigating those Muslim or Arab protesters this morning. But critics of Ms. Tlaib, and frankly those with common sense, say that, boy, they sure ought to. All right, with those facts and data, let me offer you my quick analysis and opinion. So folks, my own sources continue to echo the alarm that we heard yesterday from Mr. Wray, and that is we do have terror cells all throughout this country, and they are looking to strike, and soon. That could be in places like or near Dearborn, Michigan, or it could involve terrorists like those, say, perhaps in places like Dearborn, or those who have crossed over our southern border over the past 3 years. That means that, folks, to be blunt, it is just a matter of when we get hit by Islamic terrorists. It is not a matter of if. So do be prepared. Always be watchful and mindful. Your head's on a swivel. And as ever, I will be watching myself, and I will keep you posted. Next up, this same Mr. Wray of the FBI, he also told Congress yesterday that the Communist Party of China is, quote, the defining threat of our entire generation, end quote. That is a similar assessment to those that he has made over the past few years, that the Chinese threat is bad, getting worse. In fact, it's becoming more obvious and more pervasive, not only in this country, but around the world. And yet, despite those warnings, American politicians and business leaders continue to pursue the Chinese government this morning to curry favor with the Communist Party. To the point, San Francisco's mayor announced on Wednesday that she is going to leave for Beijing tomorrow to try to secure a closer relationship with President Xi. She hopes to get more flights between her city and China. Plus, she hopes to snag a couple of pandas for her local zoo. Okay. Critically, though, she is hoping to convince Fudan University of Shanghai to open up a new branch of their school in downtown San Francisco. So here's why that's a problem. As NPR and other outlets have reported, that research university is deeply tied to the Communist Party of China. In fact, they changed their school's charter back in 2019 to pledge that, quote, the university's Communist Party committee is the core leadership of the school, end quote. Well, apparently that does not matter, at least to folks like Mayor Breed this morning. She wants that university in downtown San Francisco. Although, to be fair, she's not alone in chasing the Chinese. It mirrors the same approach of America's CEOs and the Biden White House. For starters, let's focus on those CEOs. U.S. corporate leaders met with President Xi about 3 weeks ago. They said they were hoping to secure and strengthen their supply chains with China and get further access to that domestic market. Meanwhile, Mr. Biden's Treasury Secretary emphasized earlier this week that China and the U.S. will not decouple their economies, but rather draw closer. In fact, in a press release yesterday, she said that the relationship between the U.S. and China is far stronger today than just 1 year ago, all at the direction of Joe Biden. Now, to be fair, she did say that the relationship is complicated, but nevertheless, she promised that the nations will grow closer. All right, with those facts and data, let me offer you my quick analysis and opinion. Well, when we think about what Secretary Yellen and Mr. Biden are saying to us this morning, and you compare that to Mr. Ray, well, I want you to imagine that when we think about America's relationship with China, that you imagine someone is pushing on the gas pedal and the brake at the same time, because that's what we're doing. And that is why our policies regarding Beijing are so muddled, confused, and frankly, contradictory. And that is not going to change until you have a new president and a resulting bureaucracy who are both consistent in understanding this threat and addressing it accordingly. Well, that is based on my experience anyway, and that is my two cents, with, as ever, more to come. Next up, we are learning of a third set of threats to this country this morning beyond Islamic extremists or the Chinese, and it is illegal aliens. A group of U.S. sheriffs whose jurisdictions are on the southern border are telling media outlets in Texas that they are seeing two new groups of gangs start to pass through their counties. One is a branch of a Venezuelan gang that we have previously discussed. It's called the Tren de Aragua. Now, this new branch, though, is not based in Venezuela, but rather Peru, and it is called the Sons of God. The other is called Los Chonoreros. They operate their gang in prisons in Ecuador. And both of those outfits are now making their way to the United States, crossing over our collapsed southern border, and they are doing so, according to the sheriffs, in far greater numbers. Now, how many is unclear, but we do know this. At least 10,000 Ecuadorians a month have been crossing over the border, at least in years gone by, with none of them vetted. And those folks then claim asylum and are released or flown around this country. In other words, we're taking the problem and just spreading it all around. Well, perhaps that spreading of the problem explains this. A new finding from Axios and Ipsos polling shows that Hispanic Americans in this country are dramatically increasing their support for an expanded border wall and mass deportations. Some 42% of America's Hispanics want more border wall. In fact, they want one that crosses the entire southern border with Mexico from sea to shining sea. Also, about 40% want mass deportations of those illegal aliens who have come over the past few years. These percentages, by the way, are up sharply since the year 2020. And that is making the White House very anxious this morning, and it probably explains this. Mr. Biden announced on Tuesday that he is now looking at new executive orders to better secure our southern border. He did not offer, though, a timeline or what those new policies might be, but he said he's very eager to fix the problem and secure our border. Well, with those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. So let's put our politics aside. What is clear is that gangs and criminals are coming across our southern border. Of course they are, because we're not vetting anyone. And that is affecting our communities, and that would include Hispanic. The polling are now showing that very consistently, and we're all living it. So that is why the FBI's director told us yesterday that when we combine the China threat with the radical Islam threat, the lights are just blinking red in this country from all the various threats, everywhere. So my counsel to you all for the weekend is really think about how or if you and your families are prepared to deal with what would probably be a short-term interruption, shall we say, of our lives following a terror attack or a cyber campaign. Also, we should be thinking about who our local district attorneys are and understand whether or not they would charge you and prosecute you if you ever had to defend yourselves related to these gangs. Because, folks, it is better to get prepared right now than be caught off guard down the road. All right, with that, let's take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. Please do give the good folks at American Hartford Gold and Super Beats a listen this morning. They are sponsoring this first segment. I do hope you enjoy their messages and their products. I am proud to endorse both. We'll be right back. In the coming weeks, you are likely to hear even more headlines about leaders in both the U.S. and Europe starting to seize Russian assets. They're going to do it to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke of this back in early January with the very clear effects on the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you are looking for ways to diversify your investments, and we should, Consider physical gold and silver, and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel comfortable using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Just text WRIGHT, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, WRIGHT to 65532. Man, that is easy. Again, that's W-R-I-G-H-T to 65532. And when you do, folks, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, all depending on your total purchase. So again, give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. I am at 4 months in with Superbeats Heart Chews, and boy, am I happy. Just two little chews a day, and I get a shot of energy, plus performance and endurance. I take mine at breakfast, and then I am set for the day. Also, here's another great benefit. If you pair Superbeats with a healthy lifestyle, the antioxidants in these chews are clinically shown to be nearly two times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. How great is that? So do what I did. Go to GetSuperBeets.com, that's BEETS.com, and use promo code WRIGHT. If you choose one of their bundles, that is going to get you a 30-day supply of Superbeets for free and 15% off your first order. So go to GetSuperBeets.com, use that promo code WRIGHT, and get your heart healthy energy that you need and support for healthy blood pressure too. You will be so glad you did. Welcome back to The Right Report and today's headline brief. We turn our attention next to international news, and we start in the country of Canada. A special commission in that country heard yesterday that Chinese spies have interfered in the past two elections in that nation, and it is possible that Beijing helped install that country's current leftist government. Canada's spy agency has confirmed that Beijing interfered in the elections back in 2019 and 2021, and in both cases, the Communist Party preferred the current leftist Prime Minister of Canada, Mr. Justin Trudeau. Details are classified about how exactly China interfered in those elections, but we can fairly assume that it involved some of Canada's 1.7 million people who are of Chinese descent. But the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, he says, wait a minute. He told the commission who was investigating this matter yesterday that while it is true that China did interfere, and that Canadian intel told him as much years ago, their interference did not actually change the election results. Plus, he said that the quality of the intel we're talking about here is not very good. In fact, he questions a lot of the assessments. Well, be that as it may, the Canadian people are a little bit more confident in their spy masters this morning than Mr. Trudeau. Polling showed that a majority of Canadians find that Canada is both a serious threat and that the communists certainly did try to interfere in those elections. Now, there is a partisan split about whether Beijing actually put Mr. Trudeau into office or just helped a little bit. Well, with those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. Folks, I can tell you with high confidence that China is not only interfering in Canadian politics, they do and are, they are doing this globally, and that would include here in the United States. And they do it with secret cash, they do it with blackmail, and they do it with some recruited spies in our media. And I will tell you from my experience that this is how you know that they are at work in your country. We can think of this as a tell in a high-stakes poker game, right? If your political leadership is pushing on the gas pedal and the brake at the same time when it comes to foreign policies regarding China, then yes, you have a problem. And yes, that should sound a little bit familiar this morning. More to come. Next up, we have a grave warning out of Germany this morning with their leading airline called Lufthansa halting all flights to the country of Iran through at least Saturday. They said that the flights are being canceled because of, quote, events in the region, end quote. Well, the events referred to are actually the assessments by Western intelligence agencies that Tehran is going to launch an attack on the country of Israel within the next 48 hours. The Ayatollah of Iran says that, yes, it will happen, and it will be done in revenge for Jerusalem's decision about a couple of weeks ago to strike the Iranian embassy compound in Syria, and that killed a very senior military leader. For what it's worth, the government of Israel knows that this revenge strike is coming. They say that they are ready. They anticipate a wave of drones and missile strikes. In one piece of potentially good news, the Reuters wire service suggests that this response by the Iranians will likely be narrow and limited. And that is because Tehran actually wants to avoid a broader war in the Middle East. Reuters is also saying that the U.S. government and its personnel should not be hit during these Iranian strikes. Although that said, Tehran has been offering some mixed signals about whether or not that is true, leading some folks to believe that U.S. troops in the region will be targeted either by drones or one of Iran's proxy groups like Hezbollah. So that is why I will be watching this very closely today and throughout the weekend. And as ever, may God protect our men and women in uniform in the Middle East this morning, because the threat is so very real. Next, we return to Ukraine this morning for a series of, frankly, shocking assessments. First, the U.S. military is admitting this morning that they got it very wrong when they assessed that it would take years for the Russians to reconstitute their military after their invasion of Ukraine. Instead of taking them years to rehabilitate their military services, Moscow has already done it. In fact, they are now 15% larger in terms of overall manpower, and their tank numbers have been fully restored. There are now plans actually in Moscow to grow the service even larger than it was 3 years ago. That shocking assessment came down from America's top commander in Europe yesterday. General Christopher Cavoli offered that admission, which, by the way, matches the U.S. State Department's view that they offered earlier this week, that yes, Russian President Vladimir Putin has somehow managed to rebuild his military at a pace that was just unimaginable a few months ago. Meanwhile, General Cavoli also added this, quote, "The severity of this moment cannot be overstated. If America does not continue to support Ukraine, Ukraine could lose," end quote. However, that assessment is not shared by one very important man in Ukraine this morning. His name is General Oleksandr Pavlyuk. He serves as the commander of Ukraine's ground troops. He said on Monday that, quote, "No matter how much help we get from America or Europe, no matter how many weapons that we have, we lack people," end quote. And that is probably why yesterday Ukraine's parliament passed a long-delayed bill to expand the country's draft by lowering the age of conscription. Now, the exact number and the means of getting those soldiers to the front lines will remain a secret. And that is because mass mobilization remains deeply unpopular in Ukraine. Many of the men and their families don't want to fight in this war, even though most of them deeply despise the Russians. And that very difficult reality is going to create some major problems for President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. In fact, his former top general, Mr. Zaluzhny, has previously said that the military of his country needs at least 500,000 men to fight the Russians. But Zelensky and his advisors have long feared that conscripting that many men will result in riots and social unrest. Then there's also this problem related. The soldiers who have been fighting for the last year or two or three on the front lines, they say that it's time that they get rotated out. They argue that it's time for other men in Ukraine and their families to sacrifice. But as of this recording, it appears unlikely that Mr. Zelensky will go along with that because they can't be replaced. All those new conscripts, they're hiding either in major cities in Ukraine or they have fled to other nations all throughout Europe. With those quick, sobering facts and data, let me now give you my analysis and opinion. So folks, first, this war is lost. Ukrainian men are just simply tired of dying and they don't want to fight anymore. Plus, their generals are making very clear to us that whatever aid that we send, it's not going to matter because their men don't want to fight. Second, what that means is that unless Mr. Biden and European leaders are willing to admit defeat in an election year for both the European Parliament, which, by the way, happens in June, or, of course, the U.S. presidency in November, these folks are going to have to find men somewhere that are willing to fight in Ukraine. So that probably means men and women willing to fight in Ukraine from NATO forces. So that is why I will be watching this very closely in the coming weeks. I'm going to be looking for signals that DC and Brussels are starting to change their tune, and they are going to start this major pivot to convince people like you to send your sons and daughters to fight in Ukraine when young people there certainly don't want to do it themselves. More to come. And with that, let's take our final break of the morning. I offer my gratitude, by the way, to the folks at Policy Genius and Ghostbed for supporting this next block of the podcast. Many thanks to them. We'll be right back. Folks, if you are in the market for insurance policies, whether that be life insurance or home, auto, or disability, I want to tell you about a company that I use. It's called PolicyGenius.com. They will help you find the most affordable insurance that's out there with partners like Nationwide, Prudential, and Travelers Insurance. I recently used Policy Genius to look at life insurance policies because, well, you never know. And with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. And some insurance options offer you same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. And while that is great news, even better news from my perspective is that Policy Genius is a time saver. Their website makes it easy to compare different insurance policies of all kinds, including that life insurance, with just a few clicks of your mouse. So my bottom line is that our loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and we can give them that with things like life insurance from PolicyGenius.com. So head to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save today. Go to PolicyGenius.com. It's a good morning, but we need to talk about tonight. And that is because, as ever, you need a good night's sleep tonight, and you're going to get that with Ghostbed. Yes, it's the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And you all know that's true because I own one. I had the Lux model. But they've got those other great options too, like the Classic, the Massage Bed, yes please, and also one for your RV. But no matter what model you choose from, you got to get one of these things. The mattresses are built with high-quality materials and fine craftsmanship, and you are going to feel both when that thing is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns. So folks, get yourselves a Ghost Bed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get 50% off your Ghost Bed purchase. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right. And get ready, because once that bed arrives, you are going to be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it. Welcome back to The Right Report as we wrap up this morning's headline brief. We pivot now to Central and South America with a stop in the country of Brazil, where the socialists who run that country are in a big fight with an American billionaire named Elon Musk. As folks probably know, he is the owner of Tesla, SpaceX, and Twitter, which is now called X. Now, on the surface, the fight between these two is about misinformation or disinformation online. But as reported by the AFP, Axios News, ABC, and the Wall Street Journal, it's also about whether Brazilians fundamentally have freedom and liberty. So here's what we know. There is a far-left Brazilian judge. His name is Alexandre de Moraes. He sits over the on the Brazilian Supreme Court. And he has been on a years-long hunt to investigate and arrest some of the country's most powerful conservative bloggers, businessmen, and politicians over what he deems to be offensive speech online. And that would include posts on social media companies like X or Twitter. But as the Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning, even the judge's allies are saying that this man has gone too far in his investigations and arrests. In fact, they say he's just targeting his political opponents rather than trying to secure justice or fight fake news. As you would imagine, Justice Moraes disagrees. He is now pushing forward even more aggressively with his plans to investigate and arrest. He is demanding this morning that Mr. Musk shut down some very big accounts of very popular Brazilian conservatives. In fact, he made that demand about a week ago, to which Mr. Musk is refusing. In fact, he is calling this judge, quote, Brazil's Darth Vader, end quote. Mr. Moraes does have his defenders, including the Marxist president of Brazil, Mr. Lula. Lula says that Mr. Musk is a foreigner and he has no right to interfere in Brazil's politics And he certainly has no right to police free speech. That job, says this President Lula, is the job of his Marxist government or of this leftist Supreme Court judge. And that is why these men have now launched an investigation against Mr. Musk himself in Brazil. Indeed, his Twitter offices are being shut down, his staff pressured to resign or be charged, to which Mr. Musk is saying this morning, fine, bring it on. With those facts and data, let's talk about why we should care, pivoting now to analysis and opinion. So let's step back for a second. First, folks, we see this exact same fight in the United States, with Mr. Biden and his party arguing that the federal government should also regulate or control speech. In fact, you may remember the Disinformation Governance Board that Mr. Biden's DHS, well, they opened it up and then later shut it down under pressure. We have also seen this same pattern throughout Europe as well. You may recall the brief that I gave you about Scottish police, who are now obligated by law to investigate and charge people if they, quote, stir up hatred, end quote. So if you put it all together, you've got leftist governments in America, Europe, and Latin America, and they are all clamping down on free speech, but in the name of fighting disinformation or misinformation. And yet, it's almost exclusively targeting their political opponents. So that suggests to me that this is not about free speech. And this whole disinformation argument is just a smokescreen or pretext for what is a global coordinated effort to control speech and to define truth. That is something for us to consider, I think, this weekend. We're going to come back to it more in future episodes. Finally, this morning, we come home to the United States. And for this, we are going to put aside politics. We are going to forget the economy. We are going to ignore that we have a border crisis or maybe some folks out there who are trying to squash our freedoms and liberty. Instead, we are going to conclude today's episode with a celebration of life that was absolutely well-lived. My goodness. It was the life of a man named Lew Conter. A little over 80 years ago, Mr. Conter was on the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor. It was December of 1941. He later said that he remembered hearing a dull roar in the air that day, which became louder. And then the Japanese struck. In short order, the USS Arizona's ammunition ignited and the ship burst into flames. The oil and the gas on that ship then blew out. It covered the waters of the harbor. That ignited as well. He watched, as he said, men that he had worked with but moments before jump off the burning ship, only to be consumed or badly burnt by the fires below. By a miracle of God, he did survive. Just a month later, he went off to flight school. He said he worked 12 to 14 hours a day to keep his mind distracted. It helped out a lot, he said, to not think about Pearl Harbor. He went on to fly bombing runs in the South Pacific over the next couple of years, and he was shot down twice, once in September of 1943, and then again just 3 months later. He survived all of it. After the war ended, he moved to California. He signed back up for the reserves. Well, as fate would have it, the Korean War broke out. He joined, and he survived that too. He continued his service with the U.S. Navy until he retired in the year 1967, with his lovely wife, Valerie, of 45 years by his side the whole time. He was later asked how he managed to survive in Hawaii, over the South Pacific, and in Korea, and he offered two reflections. First, he said that God just didn't want him during those years. That's great. Second, he said this, quote, "Don't ever panic in any situation. Survive is the first thing that you tell someone who's panicking. So don't panic or you're dead," end quote. Well, I'll tell you, that sounds about right for that generation. Keep calm and carry on. Sadly, Mr. Lew Conter passed away recently. He was 102 years old. That leaves 19 other folks who are the remaining survivors of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. He, though, was the last one who survived the sinking of the USS Arizona. So we pray that Mr. Conter rests in peace this morning. We are comforted by knowing that he is now with his wife, Valerie. She passed away in the year 2016. Their children said last week that without a doubt, he was greeted at heaven's gates by Valerie, plus all of his old friends in the Navy that he lost that day in 1941, plus the many, many friends and all the loved ones that he met along the way in the decades since. He is now with them, they said. And to him, and to all of them, We say thank you. You are missed, and we will see you again someday. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you on Monday, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words of the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.